Roman emperor that was in power at the time John wrote the book is not of the seven. Rome is not of the seven. Rome is not part of the beast. Here's what you got. This is a picture of
five. That's part five. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and the Sibylline Empire. That's the five kingdoms.
There's only four.
Well, we don't know. That's
where you
in your blue highlight.
Okay, that's the Greece is the Seleucid Empire is part of the Greek Empire. That was Antiochus Epiphanes. That's what followed the Persians. Alexander, you remember Alexander the Great?
Yes.
When he died at like 21 years of age. He had no successor, so his kingdom was divided into four among his four generals. Cassander took Greece. Lysimachus took Turkey. Ptolemy took Egypt. And Seleucus took Syria, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. Mm-hmm.
Do we know who the five fallen kings are?
I thought you might ask that. No, we don't. We don't. That's we don't know.
We've been working on that.
We've been working on that. There are several good possibilities. And I don't know whether Joanne advised me to stay away from that.
Amen.
I'll come over to your house and we'll sit around the table and we'll throw out some theories because that's all it is. Because we don't have them named in the Bible. There's no name, but there are several really good theories on this. Several working theories that they could be a number of individuals. I mean, you know, throw out some. Nebuchadnezzar's one for sure.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great would be another one. Mm-hmm. These have got to be kings that oppressed Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you've got Persian kings. You've got Antiochus Epiphanes, of course, the Seleucus king, the Greek king, the king of the Seleucid Empire, what was left of Alexander's empire that oppressed you, that offered swine on the altar and placed the abomination of desolation, in other words, so on and so forth, persecuted a lot of Jews back in about 168. The king rise to the whole Hanukkah. The Hanukkah celebration and all that was in like 67, 68. But anyway, so we throw out some guys. That could be Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander, Antiochus. We could have Cyrus, Darius. We could have Artaxerxes number one, Artaxerxes number two. We could have Xerxes. We could have all of those guys. There's any one combination, any combination of those five could be it. As a matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is another vision. And the angel talking to Daniel, he said, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece."
Yeah, we just don't.
"And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will." That's Alexander the Great. So you've got Darius right there. He lists five kings of Persia. Darius, three more, and then another one, a fourth one. So there's five kings of Persia right there. There's five kings. You could say, well, maybe that's the five kings that we're looking at right here. I don't know.
I don't know who they are.
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's any number of good candidates.
Mm-hmm. Almost like the two witnesses.
Yeah. Now, historically, let me tell you this. Historically, From Cyrus to the overthrow of the Persian Empire, there were actually historically 12 kings. But the angel says there's only five. In other words, there's only five of which we're going to take any account. Okay? We don't care about these other seven. There's only five that we care about. So it's interesting that the angel right here in Daniel 11 and 1 and 2 mentions five kings, and over here, and the angel over here in Revelation chapter 17 says five are fallen. I don't know. We don't name them. They don't name them.
Could be.
So I don't know where we go with that. But there's plenty of guys that would work. We could put names in here all day. But what we really need to get out of this is that we see here the exclusion of Rome. Rome ain't in here. Because the beast that was is not at the time that he wrote the book. And that was Rome. Rome was in power when he wrote the book. And the beast wasn't there. But besides, the beast only has seven heads that are connected to it. And this eighth, this number six, wasn't one of them.
Or else we'd have eight heads.
Or we'd have an eight-headed beast. Mm-hmm. You see how simple that is?
That is.
I mean, that is so simple. It just excludes Rome just so easy. We can exclude it.
Yeah, well, it is interesting that in that scripture, it doesn't give you any of the kings except one. I mean, really, you're only given one name, which is Rome. He doesn't give you of the other ones.
That's right.
The two, for sure, we won't know because they're a future event.
That's right.
Really, the whole point is, one you know, forget about him.
Forget about him. Yeah. The one you know, forget about him. That's a good point. This guy you know, and you can be certain that John knew who was in power. John knew the name of the Roman emperor that he served under. Amen. So he knew the guy's name. And the angel said, forget about him. We don't care about him. He's not it. But these other guys, the five that are fallen, yes, they were part of the beast. And the two that are still to come, Antichrist number one and Antichrist number two, they're also part of the beast. Mm-hmm. So here you've got right here, this is Antichrist number one and Antichrist number two. The iron legs and the ten toes. Rome is not in here. Right here, you see right here, this little bar, this little orange bar across here, that's the grace dispensation. This is where we are. This is where you are right here. This is where I am. Glory to God.
This is the
beast is in remission. There is no beast now. He's trying to break out, but he can't break out because there's something holding him back and he can't get out. All right, how are we doing on time here? We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have any burning questions on this? Is this relatively clear to everybody that how this excludes Rome? Rome is just out. The angel made it very clear. There's no Roman Empire in the end time.
Rome was under grace.
Rome was under grace. Yeah. Rome was under grace. Yeah,
you know,
Rome was under grace.
Yeah, the clock was
the clock had stopped. When the book was written, when the book of Revelation was written, the clock had stopped. Grace abounded.
I love that.
And the Antichrist was held in abeyance. Mm-hmm. The mystery of iniquity was held in abeyance. And it will be held in abeyance until that which withholds and restrains is taken out of the way. I know we could get into all kind of good stuff on that, but I'm gonna try to resist at this point because I'm about wore out. All right, I don't want to get into that. We may get into that. What is it that holds back? What is it that holds back? Everybody wants to know, what is it that's holding back the mystery of iniquity? It's something pretty big. It's something pretty powerful. The church. Yeah, the church. And the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost.
That's the most important.
That's right. This is the grace dispensation. This is the Holy Ghost dispensation.
Yes, it is.
All right, I've gone farther than I intended to go. But this is the Holy Ghost dispensation.
We won't tell Joanne.
The mystery of iniquity cannot break forth until the church and the Holy Ghost are gone out of here.
Amen.
And the clock will start.
Then the clock will begin. Because it was the coming of the Holy Ghost in the first place that stopped the clock.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Brother Shane?
So, does this what make you a pre-tribber?
This makes me a real big-time pre-tribber. Yeah, it does, okay? It makes me pre-trib. The more I study it, the more I think about it, the more pre-trib I get.
Okay.
But...
I got a question for you.
Yeah, brother.
Oh, we won't.
What's your thoughts on the great sea?
I love that, and we'll definitely explore that in great detail.
I know you got to go.
What, do you have anything specific about? Do you have a specific scripture you want to talk about?
Thank you for
coming. Well, I was just looking at 18 there and just thinking.
Thank you for coming.
What saving would?
All right, I'm looking at that verse. I'm looking at that very verse. Let's talk about that verse. Revelation 17:18.
Do we want to pause or keep recording? It's up to you.
The question is, I'm going to keep recording. I'm on a roll. Glory to God.
All right.
I appreciate.
Oh, he's got to go to work.
Money and Cade and Corky for coming and.
Corky's got a hoot out tonight.
I know you all got to run. God bless you all. We love you guys. We're gonna plow ahead here for a little while.
Tell us all your secrets now, Monty.
Well, you're gonna have to quit asking me questions or I'll never shut up. Revelation 17:18 says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." It's a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. What do you think about that? What does that say to anybody? Anything?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me? You think it's wrong? You still think wrong? Okay.
But that's what you've always been. That's what we've always been taught.
All right. Let me tell you something.
I don't believe it's wrong, but let me.
What can you say?
The first one that comes to my mind is Jerusalem.
Yes.
Jerusalem!
Jerusalem!
Give the man a gold star!
Jerusalem.
I'll tell you what, man, we got, oh man! What says Jerusalem to you?
Great city!
Great city! It's the city of the great king, right?
Yes. In all the whole world.
It rules over all the earth. It's supposed to. It's the joy of the whole earth.
Yeah.
And multiple times it's mentioned that it's the great city.
Of course! Now, We'll take up a whole two or three periods to talk about that. But since you brought it up, now, you know, look, let me tell you this. Rome, it was said, was a city built on seven hills. Well, guess what? According to the Jewish work, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which is a work that is very well known throughout Judaism, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It's an old book. It's an old commentary on basically Old Testament stuff. But in there it says that you Romans can quit talking and bragging about your seven hills because Jerusalem is also established on seven hills. Jerusalem is a city established on seven hills. It ain't just Rome. Jerusalem also qualifies for that. Praise God for that comment down there, brother. You're really baiting me now. You're really trying to draw me in and get me going on this. But there's so much here. Look, there's so much here. And we just, I want to talk about it. I can't do it. I know you all are done for the night, and I'm done for the night, but we are going to go there. So, to get ready. We're going to talk about
it. Yes.
We're going to talk about who this woman is and why she's described like she is. Oh, we're going to talk all about this. You don't want to do it. You don't want to, you really don't, you ready to go for another hour and a half?
All right. We're
put on
the
clock. Nah. Nah, don't think we want to go another hour and a half.
Oh, we're wearing you down?
Well, give us something to think about on it this week.
All right, I will.
There you go.
I will. How is it that Jerusalem is called the Great Harlot? All right, Jerusalem, if it's Jerusalem, of course, and I'll tip you off, I believe it is. I'll just tell you, I believe it's Jerusalem, okay?
We got that idea.
All right, you did get that idea? Okay, well, just in case there's any confusion, I'll lay all that to rest. It is, I think it's Jerusalem. Now let's go back a couple of chapters, go back to chapter 11. We're talking about the two raptured witnesses. Let's start in chapter 1 of verse 11.
Chapter 11, verse 1.
Chapter 1 of verse 11. See, I'm blithering now. Chapter 11, verse 1.
We're blithering. We followed you.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, that is 42 months of 30 days apiece. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth that we saw in Zechariah. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These are not grace preachers. They're not preaching grace.
No.
They are not. These guys are dealing out judgment. Hellfire and brimstone.
Yes.
That's another reason why I don't think they belong to this dispensation. And that's why I don't think this dispensation will be here. The church won't be here. How do we get along with these guys?
Yeah.
Not real good. These guys don't do things like we do. Okay. Because it's the day of his vengeance. It's no longer the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the day of his vengeance.
Yes.
The day of his vengeance has come. All right. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street, shall be in the street of the great city. The great city.
Yes.
Which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What city is that?
Jerusalem.
It is called Sodom and Egypt spiritually because it's spiritually wicked as Sodom and Egypt. Why would they kill the two raptured witnesses? Why would they reject the truth? Not only have they rejected Christ, but at that point the two raptured witnesses come, they fight against him, they cooperate with the Antichrist, they make a covenant with the Antichrist, and they kill the two raptured witnesses. They're called spiritually Sodom and Egypt.
Yeah.
They're drunken with the blood of the saints, the martyrs of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, all the blood of all the righteous, from Abel to Zechariah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar, will come upon this generation. And we know what that means. It means the 33 years that he lived plus the last seven. The last seven is when this happens and it fills out that generation. That last 7 years in Jerusalem, they're going to reap the fruits of all the persecution and the blood and from Abel all up through the grace dispensation, everybody that's every martyr. And the reason why that is true, because look, if they had accepted Christ, none of it would have stopped. It would have stopped. But they didn't accept Christ, so martyrs have kept on endlessly. There's been an ocean of blood that has been shed by the martyrs of Christ, and it's all attributable to one generation, that generation that rejected Christ, which has still got 7 years of it to run out. Now, in a nutshell, that's what we're talking about. That's why this woman, Jerusalem, is drunken with the blood of the saints. The blood of all the martyrs of Jesus falls upon their shoulders. All of it. And it will be required of them in the last 7 years. That's why it says that if we read further in Revelation chapter 17, it says this. I'll read this. Look at verse 16. The ten horns, this is 17, Revelation 17, 16. The ten horns which thou sawest upon